So it's an honor for me to be here today and to share with the recipients of this scholarship. I was looking over the background of these recipients, and it was absolutely amazing what you guys have accomplished. And I was nowhere close when I was getting out of high school, nowhere close to where you are. And so I think that you have a tremendous, tremendous future in front of you. You know, sociologists have done studies on what makes people satisfied with their work. What is it that drives people to satisfaction? And interestingly, not the number one thing, but the number three thing is money. It's not number one. The number three thing is money. The number two thing is that you are appreciated for your work and that you're good at it. That you're appreciated for your work and that you're good at it. And one of the things about this is that you want to make sure that you're doing something that you really enjoy, because it's hard to enjoy something and to be appreciated at something and be good at it if you don't really enjoy it. So I see many students come to colleges at times, and they are in a particular field. Say, a common one among Asian students is medicine. So they'll find themselves in medicine, but they're not enjoying organic chemistry at all. And I teach organic chemistry. And actually, organic chemistry is a lot like medicine. The concepts are not that hard, but it's a huge amount of work. And it's a huge amount of things to memorize. And then I get talking with them and I ask them, so what is it that you want to do, because you don't seem very happy in this? Why are you doing this? And they say, well, my parents want me to do this. And so I say, what is it that you like to do? What is it that you like to do? And then they tell me, and it has nothing to do with medicine. And it has to do with something else. And it's very hard for them to go back to their families and to tell them, hey, I really want to do something different. And so keep that in mind. And I have seen people be forced into doing something that they really didn't enjoy, and it put them in a lifetime of doing something that they didn't enjoy. The number one thing that makes people pleased in their work is that they go to work every day considering that what I do is going to be great for humanity. When we have the feeling that we go to work and what I do is going to be great for humankind, that is the thing that keeps people most interested in their work throughout their careers. So think about that. When you are choosing your professions, you'll be able to take many different classes in college, and you'll be able to consider among that, what is it that you enjoy doing? And think about what you enjoy doing. Would you like to do this for a lifetime? So this is a way to think about this sort of thing. You know, I was visiting the company 3M. It's a chemical company, which is an amazing chemical company. So many innovations have come out of 3M. And they showed me this plot, and they talked about people who were T people, like the letter T, T people. And so what they did is they tracked people, and they said, how much money has each of our employees made for the company? And the way they gauged that is that they would look at different claims on patents and what individuals had contribution to generating that claim on a patent and how much money that patent claim was making them. And they could calculate how much money each one of their employees was making for the company. And interestingly, the average was that each employee was making about $5 for the company for every dollar invested, which is not bad. When they looked at their salary, they looked at how much was invested in their company through their salary and their benefits. For every dollar invested, they were making $5 for the company. That was the average. There was some bell curve, but the middle of that bell curve was $5. There were some outliers, though. And those outliers were making $500 for every dollar invested. So you could hire one of them, and they're making as much money for you as 100 other employees, 100 to 1. Then they started looking at those individuals and said, what is it about these people? What is it about them that they make so much money for the company? And what they noticed about them is that they were deeply trained in something. All of them had a PhD in a particular area, deeply trained. However, they were broadly focused in many, broadly applicable, they could apply across many different fields. So, for example, they could speak to the biochemists in the company, they could speak to the biologists, they could speak to the chemists, the physicists, the people in electronics. They could speak across many different disciplines. And this comes from learning broadly. So even though you need some depth, you need that vertical part of the T, you need this breadth. And so keep that in mind, that you want to take all of these other subjects. And that's one of the great things about an American education, an education in the United States. One of the great things about this is that you learn extremely broadly. You are forced to take classes, even if you're in the sciences, you're forced to take classes in sociology, for example, in the social sciences, in other topics, because it is this that is going to apply the breadth for you. And so keep that in mind, that this is a good thing. You go to other countries, you focus right out of high school. I mean, you choose a career and you study just that, just that. But the most creativity comes when you have the deep training with a breath. And creativity is really important because none of us knows what the future is going to do to us with AI. It is amazing. It is an amazing tool. I think a lot of AI, I use it all the time. We've published more than half a dozen papers using and exploiting AI for our own research. We do this all the time. And I think it's coming.
If you do not believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ, send me an email, tour@drjamestour.org, and we will get together and I will share with you about why I embrace the resurrection of Jesus.
What is going to be the human relevance when AI comes in all the more? And from what I have seen, the human relevance is going to remain when there is creativity. It is how creative are we? It is the creativity. And the creativity is going to come from this horizontal part of the letter T, to be able to go across on the horizontal, to be able to speak many different, if you will, languages, meaning that physicists have different languages than chemists, different languages than engineers, and being able to speak across the breadth of these will allow you to go in and engage with somebody in another field, and all of a sudden you're understanding their language and you're speaking their language and you're able to apply what you have learned over here and you're able to apply it over there in an entirely different field. This has happened many times in my own career, many times, where we took molecules and we applied it to the area of electronics. When we took knowledge that we had working in pharmaceuticals and applying it to areas where we were working in battery development, where we could take things from one area and apply it in another. Learn the tools of AI very well. Learn how to use LLMs, the large language models, and use that in your research. Because a graduate student, a good graduate student with the tools of AI in hand, they're as good as I am. I've been doing this 50 years, they've been doing this 4 years. They're as good as I am. When they learn how to exploit the tools of AI and then couple that with their own creativity. Now, I've been asked also to speak something about my faith. I've been asked to do this because I am a man of faith. And I grew up in a secular Jewish home, and which means that I was in a synagogue maybe twice a year. But when I was 18 years old, my first year in college, someone presented to me the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I gave my life to the Lord. And I started reading the scriptures every day of my life. Let me tell you what happens. There's a man named Bezalel in the Bible. Bezalel, It's in Exodus chapter 31. He is the first person in the Bible to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it says of him, it says, God said, I've chosen Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. So God knew his name, he knew his father's name, he knew his grandfather's name, and he knew what tribe he came from. And he said, I have filled him with the Spirit of God. I've filled him with the Spirit of God. First person in the Bible to say he was filled with the Spirit of God. Bezalel's trade was he was a craftsman. He was not a preacher. He was not an evangelist. He was a craftsman. He said, I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge of all types of craftsmanship. He filled him first with wisdom, because if you just have knowledge without wisdom, you can end up doing dastardly things with that knowledge. He gave him first wisdom, then he gave him understanding. He understood the concepts that were here, and then he gave him knowledge in all types of craftsmanship. God chose him to build the tabernacle of God, the place where God's presence was going to reside among the Israelites. This is just when they're coming out of the land of Egypt. They had to build a tabernacle, which is like a moving temple. And he says he's filled him. Now, what could he do? Then you start reading about Bezalel in chapter 31 of Exodus and chapter 36 of Exodus. You see he could work in gold, in silver, and in bronze. He could work in stone cutting and in stone setting. He could work in wood, in fabric, and perfuming, and he had the ability to teach it. I just have listed off 9 different things in diverse areas that this man could do, that this man could work on. He could work on in these diverse areas is how he could work. And this is my prayer. I say, Lord, make me like Bezalel. Make my students working in my labs like Bezalel, that we would be able to work across all these different areas and that we could have an impact across all these different areas. And go figure, God answers prayer. He answers prayer. We have started pharmaceutical companies, started 3 of them. I have something in trials going on right now at MD Anderson, phase 2 clinical trials for pancreatic cancer. We work in computer architecture. I have a memory company. It's a public company, designs memory. One of our biggest customers now is Texas Instruments for a new type of memory. We started another company that's built on an AI chip design where we're doing neuromorphic computing where the logic and the memory is all combined in one unit. So we're not busing memory off of the logic, which is the high energy point. And this will reduce the amount of energy needed by a data center by 80 to 90%, this new design. We've worked in areas of materials science across many different areas of materials science. We developed an area a few years ago for removing metals from waste. Metals from waste. One of the metals, the classes of metals we looked at were rare earth elements, something that nobody cared about a few years ago. And then all of these critical metals, and we learned how to remove all of these critical metals from waste, from all the different products we have among us. All these printed circuit boards that are being retired every 1 to 3 years from these data centers. They pay all this money for these printed circuit boards, and every 1 to 3 years, they're pulling them out and getting rid of them. There are mountains of printed circuit boards which are considered a toxic waste. We grind them up and we flash them. We use this type of chemistry, no water, no solvents. Done in seconds, we remove and separate out the different metals. All of a sudden, the world becomes really interested in critical metals and rare earth elements. And everybody's heard about this now. And it's situated this company in a prime place. And the first of 6 different factories going up has just been completed about an hour away from the university, east of the university in Anahuac, Texas. And so what happens? God puts us in places that are going to become great in a few years. He puts us in these places before they become popular. This is what God does. So as you go through your careers, this is what I advise you to do. Just remember, you are an individual, and you have amazing capabilities. But you can expand tremendously upon those capabilities when you learn to pray and seek the Lord and ask of Him. You know, the Bible says you do not receive because you do not ask in James chapter 4. So the number one reason why we do not receive answers to prayer is because we don't pray. You do not receive because you do not ask. Begin to ask of God and say, Lord, show me. Lord, show me. The Bible says the darkness and the light is the same to God. In other words, He can see in the darkness. Everybody else can't see in the dark. He sees in the darkness. And I say, Lord, You can see in the darkness. Show us things that other people are not seeing so that we can discover these things and open it up for the world. And then the other thing, remember this, learn to work as a team. I work with my research group. They are like a family to me. I meet with them twice a week, 2 hours on Tuesdays, and I sit with them for 3.5 hours on Thursday afternoons. And every one of them speaks. Every one of them. I want to see what you have you done this past week. Present it. Put it up on the screen and explain it to me. And then we all start sharing ideas. How can we help this individual to push his or her project along further? And what you do is you multiply the neurons in your brain. You are limited. As talented as you are limited. Now what you do is you get a team of people around you. And the thing that I like about young people is that their neurons are firing very quickly. You stand at the bottom of these steps today and you watch people go down. These young people, without even looking, boom, they go down these steps. They don't go near the banister. They'll be looking at their cell phone, boom, they go right down the steps. You look at the older people, they go right for the banister. And they're slowly, slowly, very carefully thinking about, how am I going to get down these steps without falling on my face? The neurons at the young age are firing so fast, so fast. I want a bunch of those working in my laboratory. I want these young people filling my laboratory with very fast neurons. Look at an old person write a check. Write the check already. I mean, it takes them so long. You won't see a young person writing a check. Just Venmo me. I mean, it's done.
Because of you, millions of people have heard the gospel.
If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that He's risen from the dead, and you will be saved.
That's right.
That's the requirement.
We talk about science concepts which draw people in.
Take these nanomachines and have them drill into cells.
This would be a great way to kill cancer, right?
We also talk about Jesus Christ, who's the best in everything.
My faith in Jesus Christ means more to me than anything.
If you could continue to give or give for the first time, we would certainly appreciate it. You can go to jesusandscience.org/donate. All U.S. donations are tax deductible. Thank you so much.
You want those neurons working for you. These are the types of neurons I want in my lab. And you learn to capture these, and you learn to capture the creativity that is there. And the creativity is what is going to keep you relevant in this world of AI. When you can do something and you extrapolate beyond what just hooking disparate pieces together, when you are thinking of all new things. Pray to the end, Lord, give me creativity and give me this breadth, this, yes, I will study deeply in this area, but give me a breadth of information. And then to be able to start companies. When I was your age, no scientists were starting companies. It was a very small number. Now everybody is thinking in an entrepreneurial mindset. And this is a good thing. To learn how to take your inventions, to learn how to take your inventions and carry them on into products. Nobody else is going to do this. If you think that people are going to take your inventions and gladly carry these on, no, you have to be the banner carrier. And you have to show the world why this is an important thing. and how you're going to get it from this blip on the oscilloscope in a laboratory into a box that somebody is going to buy. It's a whole different skill set. And this is why I encourage you. You don't have to get an MBA to start a company. There's two courses you need, though. You need accounting, and the other you need finance. You need to take a course in finance and a course in accounting. Finance, because you're going to have to raise money, and accounting, because you've got to be able to watch your money and see where it goes. And those two courses, coupled with a degree in science and engineering, where you are reading broadly, you can have a great, great impact. And I am so excited to be able to see young lives and to think that all the great things that you guys are going to discover, it is going to be utterly amazing. And we could come back in 25 years and see all the things that you guys have done, and you're going to be CEOs of companies, you're going to be great scientists, you're going to have accomplished so much. But remember what I told you, learn broadly. Take classes across different areas. Learn broadly. Don't just think you can study this one thing. And then pray. Pray to that end, that the God of heaven and earth would fill you with enormous creativity. Lord, give me creativity. Make me like Bezalel to be able to work across all these different areas. And God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you for joining me today. If you could give us a like, share, or podcast review, we would appreciate it. If you have any questions, you could send them to ask@jesusandscience.org, and we'll try to answer some of those questions in an upcoming video. And if you do not believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you want to hear about why I believe, send me an email to tour@drjamestour.org, and we'll get together by Zoom, and I'll share with you why I embrace the resurrection of Jesus Christ.